The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet, not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we hear today the follow-up, the feedback Jesus received on his first homily. First, they liked him, then they tried to kill him. I shouldn't be surprised then that, well, last night, after I preached, somebody wanted to meet me in the parking lot. So I'm going to preface this all by saying, there is no way to talk about Catholic schools and not offend somebody. Nobody has middling feelings about Catholic schools. Either it's the best thing that ever happened to them, it's what made their career and made them great, or the damn nuns. Either it is the most important mission of the church today, or the biggest drain on all of our resources. Nobody has middling feelings about the Catholic schools. I want to suggest that on some level, our opinion about the schools is not nearly as important as we imagine. But our motivations, the reasons for those opinions, and what we do with them, those are really, really significant. Listen again to Jesus' words here. "Surely you will quote me this proverb," he says, "Physician, cure yourself, and say, do here in your native place the things that we have heard were done in Capernaum. Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place." And then he uses these examples that he knows will poke them. And so they decide to try and kill him. See, Jesus is trying to push them and us, I would suggest, to a place of cooperation, collaboration, even participation. These are words that we typically only use in the church when we want a very specific outcome. We talk about the principle of cooperation every 4 years when an election is coming up to remind each other of how terrible it will be if you wind up cooperating in the bad acts of the person they might elect. We talk about collaboration when we want some good or service from somebody else and we think really we ought to have it, and for whatever reason, they're being unwilling in giving it to us. And we talk about participation when we want to try and get people to be invested in something that they already should be, but seem not to be at the moment. Jesus doesn't think collaboration, cooperation, or participation are things that we should only trot out once we need something. Rather, he's telling us this is at the base of the act of faith and of the community of faith. Put on a show for us like you did in Capernaum, he says. They say, put on a show for us. Do the things you did. He knows what they want, and he can't give it to them because they're not willing to share in it. They don't want a stake in it. They just want to see. They don't want a savior. They just want a show. It's not enough. It'll never be enough. The trouble for most of us with Catholic schools, whatever our opinion is about them, is that we're not sufficiently invested. Either we send our kids to the school, but we're not really invested in the life of the parish, or we're really invested in the parish, but don't have any actual stake in the school. Neither will ever work. Let me tell you exactly how hard it is to try and speak on a day like today. About 35% of the kids in the parish go to the parish school. About 15% are either homeschooled or go to the St. Thomas Classical Academy up in Beaverdale, which means it's sort of hybridized homeschool. And the remaining 50% go to public schools. So once a year, the church has me get up and, I don't know, try and do an infomercial for the school. Hey guys, we got a school. It's really great, I promise. And it is. I'm not just making that up. But that's not what this is for. That can't be what this is for. And the reason it can't be what this is for is because we are institutionally invested in the school. Not just personally, but institutionally. If you put money in the plate, you put money in the school, whether you want to or not. There's no way not to. Because we've made a collective decision to support the schools. And we've done that because we think they're important. Because we think they provide an essential service, not just to society, but for the gospel. We've done that because over the course of generations, we've seen the ability of the schools to transform lives and to bring people to Christ that otherwise wouldn't be. Let me give you a real concrete example. Yesterday, we buried the father of one of the alums of our school. Kid just graduated 2 years ago, so he's a sophomore in high school right now. He's 15. Sophomores in high school are not supposed to lose their dads. This was very difficult, very sad, very hard for everyone. Many of our teachers and staff members showed up on a day off, because it was a Saturday, to come in and support the family at the school. And the boy who had gone to school here, he had some particular kind of learning and social difficulties, and I wasn't entirely sure how he was going to process all this. But I sat with him at the grave after the funeral mass, and I said, "How you doing, buddy?" And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Really? Sure? It's okay to not be okay?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm fine." I said, "Are you sure?" And he looked at me like I was the one who was nuts. And he said, "Well, yeah, Father. You're the one who taught me to pray for the dead." Something took. And that wasn't a family that came to church very much before they were in our school. Now, does it happen all the time to everybody? No, of course it doesn't. And we can argue prudentially about sort of averages and that sort of thing. That's fine. I've been doing that with my brother priests every other week for the last 3.5 years, which is why we got the bishop's letter today that we did. The reason this is important, though, is because you don't just support the school. You're not just tossing money at it whether you want to or not. If you will it, if you want it, if you literally just move your insides toward it, you have a share in that little boy's praying for his dad. You have a stake in what happens to every single kid in our school. You have a share in the families that come into the church, get marriages regularized, come back to confession after years away because of the school. You personally have a stake in what we do here at Christ the King. What the bishop is moving us towards is even bigger than that. He's saying that if collaboration, participation is something that we're called to as individuals, that happens already organically once we belong to a parish community, that we need to be doing that on the diocesan level too. So that we should be able to share the goods and the resources and the gifts and talents, the particular bits that make up Christ the King, and let those work not only for the good of those of here, us here on the south side, but for the kids in West Des Moines and on the north side and at St. Joe too. And that the goods and the services and the resources available at places like St. Francis and Sacred Heart, that we should have a share in those as well, because we're all part of one thing. Lutheran Church of Hope likes to boast that it has 28 satellites in the greater Des Moines area. Well, we've got 80 over the whole course of Southwest Iowa. You're just at a satellite of the Catholic Church in Des Moines. Its name happens to be Christ the King. And we've got a stronger claim to connection than any one of those places has back to its mothership. The reason this is important, gang, is because this principle of cooperation, collaboration, and participation isn't only true of the ministries that the church provides, the goods and the services we provide to the wider community. It is most fundamentally true about what we do here at the altar. Because what happens here at the altar is God performs an act that we could never perform on our own. But he lets us share in the doing of it. It's like, and I know I've used this analogy before, but it's the best one I can come up with. It's like when you're cooking with a little kid. Mom, can I help? Mom, please, can I help? Can I help? Can I help? It is a pain for them to help. They always make a bigger mess. And the food never looks as pretty as it was supposed to. But by God, somehow it tastes better every single time. Because the kids had a share in the making of it. God lets us have a share in the making of himself present among his people. God lets us have a stake in the way in which he makes himself present to us and allows us to change the world. And that happens through things like the school and through our hospitals and healthcare agencies. It happens even for those of us who work in other schools. So to be very, very clear here, I am proud, and deeply invested in the work of Catholic schools here in the Metro, especially here at Christ the King. But I am also proud, as your pastor, of the many of our parishioners who work in Des Moines and other area public school districts, of the way in which you continue to work for the good, especially in situations that are often hostile to us. And I am proud of every single one of our families that works hard to homeschool, especially those who've worked together to form the new academy up in Beaverdale. Why? Education is complicated today in a way that it wasn't once upon a time. And we have to make choices differently than we ever could have before. Having more choices available makes the decisions that we each make stronger. And if we're really bound together the way we say we are in this Eucharist, then we have a share, a stake, a participation in the good that our neighbor does. St. Paul admonishes in this great hymn to charity, right? If I have all the goods of the world but lack charity, I've got nothing. Well, we might well say here at Christ the King, if we teach our kids math and science, art and history, language and grammar, and all the skills necessary for a life in the world, but they don't have charity and they don't know Jesus, then they have nothing. We might also say to our homeschool families, if you teach them all those things and they lack Jesus or they lack charity, you got nothing too. And we might also say to our families that send their kids to public schools or who work in the public schools, if they only learn how to read and write and somewhere along they don't pick up Jesus, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. An important examination of conscience for each of us, because the panoply is so big, would be this. If we send our kids to the parish school and we too readily dismiss those who send their kids to public schools without knowing why and what the reasons are, if we readily dismiss our fellow parishioners who work in the public school system without hearing their story and figuring out what's going on, are we lacking charity? Likewise, if we send our kids to the school and we're especially judgy of the homeschoolers, maybe because there's more kids in their pew than in ours, are we having the charity we should? If we're homeschooling and we look down on the kids at the parish school because we're convinced we're doing it better, especially when it comes to the faith, are we really giving our pastor and his staff enough credit? This is the point at which people started leaving last night. If I'm in the public schools and I simply think the Catholic schools are a drain on the system and this is a relic of a bygone age and we're having all kinds of problems, why do you believe me when I say Jesus is present here? Because that's a lot harder sell. If I lack charity toward anyone, and especially anyone with whom I disagree, what on earth am I doing here? Am I willing to allow myself to be changed? So, as we come together from all these different worlds, and all these different perspectives, and with all these different opinions, especially about schools, are we ready, willing, and able to share in the great work of God, the saving of the world, right here and now, together?